What happens when a young man who's never been truly seen meets a family of women who see everything? Anne Napolitano's Hello Beautiful opens in Chicago's Pilsen neighborhood, where Mexican bakeries perfume the air and four sisters form their own gravitational force. This isn't just another family saga. It's a modern reimagining of Little Women that asks a harder question. Can love actually save us, or does it sometimes break us further before we can heal? William Waters arrives in their orbit carrying ghosts no one can see, while the Padovano sisters, Julia, Sylvie, Emmeline, and Cecilia, each harbor their own dreams of what love should look like. When Oprah Winfrey chose this novel for her book club, she called it a story about how family shapes us for better or worse. That worst part? It's where the real truth lives. William Waters grew up forgotten. His sister Caroline died 6 days after his birth, leaving silence that swallowed their home. His father withdrew, his mother turned to bourbon, and William became invisible. At five, he discovered basketball alone on a playground. The ball didn't need charm, just commitment. He practiced until dribbling became meditation, shooting became prayer. Basketball was the only thing that loved him back. His sudden growth to 6'7" felt like betrayal when his frame couldn't keep up. A knee fracture junior year left him immobilized, contemplating whether he should disappear like Caroline. Only the court lifted the fog. When Northwestern offered a scholarship, leaving Boston felt like escape. His parents had only ever had one child, and it wasn't him. The game gave him identity when nothing else could. But what happens when that one thing gets taken away? The Padovano sisters formed their own complete universe. Julia, 28 and fiercely practical, managed everything from finances to gatherings with military precision. Sylvie, 26 and bookish, cataloged rare books at Lozano Library while devouring romance novels, believing love could transform her. Imagine I'm a house, and when I find my great love, I'll become the entire world. The twins, Emmeline and Cecilia, both 24, completed the quartet, Emmeline pursuing nursing, Cecilia painting murals that captured the city's soul. Their mother, Rose, raised them with fierce attention rather than overt affection. Disappointed by 18 years of marriage to Charlie, she pushed her daughters toward advanced degrees and financial independence, viewing romance as luxury rather than necessity. What made them extraordinary was the intricate web between them. Julia provided structure, Sylvie offered emotional depth, Emmeline brought practical compassion, Cecilia contributed joy. This delicate balance, maintained through weekly Sunday dinners and daily phone calls, would soon be tested by William Waters' arrival. William's devastating knee injury in March 1982 shatters more than cartilage. It destroys his identity. After two surgeries, basketball is gone. Julia visits daily, planning their graduation and wedding as the best month of our lives. His estranged parents send only a $10,000 check with congratulations on wedding/graduation scrawled on the memo line. William doesn't deposit it, a final confirmation of their emotional distance. On their wedding day, Charlie offers unexpected advice. Give Julia what she wants whenever you can. Strong women like Julia and Rose provide backbone to their husbands' lives. Saying goodbye to Rose after the ceremony, William calls her mom for the first time. Then 17-year-old Cecilia reveals she's pregnant. Rose, overcome with shame and memories of her own past, banishes Cecilia from home. Julia feels the natural order disrupted. She was supposed to have the first grandchild. In late October, after 26 hours of labor with only Julia as support, Isabella Rose Padovano, Izzy, arrives. Charlie visits the maternity ward, cradling Izzy while reciting Leaves of Grass. This tender scene becomes their last happy memory. Moments later, Charlie collapses in the fluorescent-lit hallway, his heart giving out. After Charlie's death, William struggles to please Julia while feeling increasingly displaced. He maintains a strict routine, errands, studying at Northwestern's library, watching basketball, finding normalcy only with a basketball in his hands. As Julia's pregnancy progresses, William fails to show proper excitement. "Sometimes I feel like I'm having the baby with Sylvie, and you're just some guy who lives here," she tells him. A chance encounter with Sylvie leads to an intimate moment discussing grief under stars. William feels exposed when Sylvie truly sees him, unlike Julia, who only sees the man she wants him to be. Teaching ancient Egyptian history requires immense preparation, and William feels he's doing time wrong, unable to pace lectures properly. He misses his first class, staying too long at Northwestern's basketball practice. When an elderly professor he'd tried to help dies that evening, William becomes overwhelmed with guilt and stops attending classes entirely. When Julia confronts him, William gives her the hidden $10,000 check from his father, along with a note ending their marriage. He walks into the night in a dissociative state, contemplating walking into Lake Michigan, a complete collapse where he can no longer pretend to be the man Julia wants him to be. When William attempts suicide, Sylvie rides in the ambulance, pretending to be his wife. At his bedside, she feels relief rather than shock. She'd somehow known this was possible. During recovery, William reveals his deepest secrets. He had a sister named Caroline who died as a newborn, devastating his parents who could never look at him without remembering her. He also confronts the truth about Alice. "I was afraid I was going to put her light out, that my darkness would swamp her light." This admission that he must stay away from his daughter to protect her is the final secret he needed to confront. After hospitalization, William treats his body like a fragile building requiring careful maintenance. When Sylvie appears at his door after Christmas, she challenges his withdrawal from the Padovano family. Despite his protests that he's a broken-down man, she refuses to let him hide. She confesses she always dreamed of finding great love, but created impossible standards because real life scared her. With William, she's found someone who truly sees her. "I see all of you," William admits. When Sylvie declares, "You're the one," and kisses him, his barriers crumble. Their relationship unfolds in secret. In his presence, it feels like all the walls have been knocked down. When Julia discovers Sylvie and William's relationship, she tells Alice that William died in a car accident, a lie that profoundly shapes her daughter. William rebuilds his life through exercise, medication, and caring for others, developing rehab exercises for injured basketball players, and creating an infrastructure of kindness. Years later, Sylvie is diagnosed with a terminal brain tumor. William calls Julia. "Please come home. Sylvie needs her sister." Julia eventually returns for a secret reunion. "Our love was so deep and wide that it made me love everyone and everything in sight, which included me," Sylvie tells William. When Sylvie dies suddenly, Alice, now a young woman who has just learned her father is alive, arrives to meet the family she never knew. Julia gives her Sylvie's manuscript about their family history. When Alice approaches William in the yard, he sees himself in her face, a recognition he's never experienced. Their conversation is tentative but warm, with William promising he won't run away. Broken pieces of the Padovano Waters family begin finding their proper places. Sylvie's love has changed them all, creating connections that once seemed impossible.